It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor on this long and lazy summer weekend. Coming up after the 4th of July, a lot of people are still out there with a little bit of lemonade in their hands or iced tea or something else, enjoying some warm temperatures and great time with the family, I hope. Well, we got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about first and goal recruiting. Emily Hay will be in here, who is our social media expert, talking about LinkedIn, among other things, and a great new startup company. All aboard, a great show. Hi, this is Foster Brown. With me in studio is our usual group of suspects. That's Mr. Gary Baker. Good to have you here, Gary.
It's always good to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you. You are not chasing a lacrosse team around the country anymore.
I am not. That's my wife's job for the next month.
Ah.
The next time I see them will be the 29th of July.
Oh,
they're
going
to be on the East Coast until then. He plays with three teams, so he goes from one team to another to another. And then he's got some individual.
That's serious.
He's got one individual tournament that he's going to. He got invited to along with, there's 120 kids from his grade.
We're talking about Justin. He is Justin, his son.
Yeah,
He's quite a little guy. And we're going to have a talk with our startup guests, by the way, about getting your son recognized for his talent.
We should do that. Yeah, absolutely. we'll talk to them in a minute, but they do football and he does lacrosse.
There's hope yet for lacrosse getting recognized in this, too. We'll talk to you more about that. Ed Rudell, you're here kind of basking in the afterglow of all the graduation festivities, right?
That's right.
Now, and you're on your way up to vacation after this, aren't you?
Yes, after this, I'm in my shorts, my holy shirt, where I'm gone.
Holy? I love it. And with us, as always, dressed for success, Mr. Cal Carson.
Oh, it's so wonderful to be sitting here. I'm completely naked. I have my headphones on.
Emily's next to you. Would you please stop talking like that?
Well, that's the beautiful part about it. We've got a really full studio right now, and I'm in between Frosty the Snowman and the original Swizzle Stick. It's a great time to be here, and it's a great time to be next to Emily, so I will pass the ball.
Emily, on behalf of all of your fans, I apologize. Good.
Pass the mic to me quickly.
Yes, okay. Emily, hey, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey there, Foster. I'm good. How
are every you? Week, we, pardon me, every month, we're delighted to have Emily come in as our social media expert and share with us some things about social media, how it's being used, not just, you know, the Facebook, Pinterest kind of thing, but also how it's being used in getting people together in business and helping them promote their businesses. And as a matter of fact, you have a startup with us today, right?
Yes, I'm very excited for today's guest.
That's exciting. That is going to be exciting. Hey, before we get to that, I'm just coming off of vacation shift. I was up north. And who was it that started the question? Was it you, Cal, about summer technology? Was that the, I think you were
yeah,
the one
I think I dug
question.
That up. I decided, you know, we should be talking about that sort of thing because, hey, it's officially summer here. It's July. It's hotter than all get out. And, you know, what are the things that you need to take with you when you're out, you know, enjoying the summer weather and stuff like that?
Summertime technology,
for
right?
Example,
summertime tech gadgets.
A really important little piece that might come in handy for some people here.
I think Ed's comments were the best.
Sunscreen and lemonade?
You thought they were the best.
I said a hammock.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Well, this is Luddite technology.
Go ahead, Cal. No. Let's go back to that sunscreen and that lemonade.
You know,
that
I was
sounds
just
really good.
You know, I was just kidding.
No.
But the only, you know, the first thing that pops in my mind is like an e-book reader. But, you know,
the first thing that popped in my mind was Foster.
Uh-oh.
And you go like, why Foster?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And I said that to myself, why Foster? And then what came up was, how about some sort of waterproof device for your phone?
This is the first summer I haven't killed a piece of technology.
You haven't gone
summer
swimming
just
with your
started.
Phone?
Oh, don't you go there.
But you actually went up north, came back, and you actually do have a device that's still working.
Still works.
Yes, I do.
It's amazing. First year in a long time, I think.
Well, but I got to tell you, it still works, but it didn't work for Beans up there because the signal was so bad. The AT&T signal was almost non-existent near Gladwin, east of Gladwin at least. AT&T was awful. Somebody was looking at a map and said Gladwin. For those of you who don't know Gladwin, if you go to where I-75 begins, it's turned towards West Branch, and you can go east and go along Lakeshore up through Tawas and Oscoda and up to Roger City. Right at that point, if you would go straight west, you get Gladwin. And Annie Nichols had the map out, and looking at it, she said, it's in the middle of everything. It's not on the way to anywhere. That's the truth. And you know, in terms of technology, that's what's happened up there. There is a provider in town called eJourney, and I rented a week's worth of their fastest broadband, which was like 1.5 megabits, I think, down. And I had all sorts of problems with it. But what struck me was there are these places in the state that are really underserved. And I really wish that there were somebody would come up with a technology like Charlie Hopper up in the UP that would just stone these areas with a good signal.
Well, they're trying. And in fact, there's fewer than there were just a month ago. Roscommon County just certified that they have now broadband in over 90% of the county.
Oh, wow, really?
But there's not enough of them, right? Around Traverse City and a couple areas like that up in Harbor Springs, they've have broadband. Now Roscommon, now a few others, and there'll be a few more lit up this summer. Yeah,
they have broadcast. Maybe, for instance, in a city like Gladwin would have it. They have cable that you can get, broadband there. But really, I was talking to a guy at a coffee shop last year. I may have mentioned it. He said, I'd love to come up here, retire, and set my business up, get a good enough signal.
But that's why they're doing this. That's why they're going around the state, and the counties are saying, look, we have to cover, and they have to cover, I forget now if it's 85 or 90% of the area with broadband.
This is pathetic.
And when they do, then they can be certified.
Well, what I'm saying is...
And they're trying to do that.
We're supposed to go on vacation and unplug ourselves.
Yes.
But the first thing we're looking for is to be able to plug in.
Well,
but it's probably going to be at a reduced level. I mean, how can you practically really get away... for a week or two without being plugged in at some point.
I'm going to get away next week. I'm going sailing in the North Channel.
But even
I can get a signal, but it's Rogers, because it's in Canada.
Oh, Canada, yeah.
So
I decided to
unplug.
I did my best to really stay unplugged. To be honest,
what did
you
just say?
I just said I'm going to be unplugged.
I'm willing to lay a $5 bill down table right now that says he's going to plug in sometime.
Somebody has a satellite phone on that boat.
Yeah, there's no way in the world. If he unplugs, you might as well close the top of the coffin. Because he is not going to be unplugged.
I'm telling everybody that. It'll reduce the email.
Back in just a moment with Emily Hay, who's been our silent partner so far. Taking the word edgewise. Glad to have you aboard here for our program. Foster on with you, along with our host of people in studio. And before we get there, just a little thing for you. We've got, for those of you who are listening to us live right now, at our flagship station, WJR, we're going to do something special. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be doing a giveaway. And it's going to become kind of first come, first serve. We'll tell you the number of caller that we're going to take on this. But we're going to be giving away...
it's not the number of caller. We're going to be...
Well, we'll start with that. And then we'll see who can answer a question.
Oh, they'll answer it.
Yeah.
People will get this one.
We're going to be giving away a 16-gigabyte SD card. And that is the kind of card that you can put into...
SLR. Yeah. Yep. You can put it into a computer. You can put it in
a video camera.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a Class 10, so it's the fastest SD card there is.
Excellent.
And so you can put it in and capture high definition video.
It's being brought to you by provided by the fine people over at Micro Center, because they wanted to be friends with us and we wanted to be friends with them.
And
so we'll be doing that.
Cal went in and was very persuasive too, so that helped.
He didn't shoplift.
I think he bought half the store and then asked him.
All right, we're going to be doing that a little later on. But right now, most importantly, I've got somebody to reintroduce and see if we can let her get a word in edgewise. That is our lady, Emily Hay, who is with us. Emily, how are you doing?
I'm good, Foster.
Bring
thanks,
a touch
how are
of
you?
Class to this place.
Oh, thanks. I'm usually
that's
not a,
needed.
I'm not a quiet person. I think you guys are just, you got your summer energy or something.
It's overwhelming being in here all the time. But Emily is, she's the president and founder of Hay There Social Media. And besides that, you are expert on social media. And you have got some some very special people to introduce to us. So why don't you go ahead and tell us who they are.
Sure. Well, thanks. And I really appreciate guests making time to come on in on this Saturday afternoon. But so as I often talk about how exciting the tech scene is here in Detroit, and startup is a very common word here in Detroit, I had the pleasure and privilege of meeting two of our guests today. We're going to talk to Dr. Damon Bryant and Chauncey Blackwell, both co-founders of First and Goal Recruiting. And I met them not too long ago at a couple of startup scene events. So we've got some exciting things to hear from
them. That's exciting. Well, let's launch into this. And Chauncey, why don't you, first of all, tell us a little bit about what is First and Goal Recruiting and what you guys are planning on doing with this.
Okay, First and Goal Recruiting is a college football recruiting service that uses math and technology to rank order high school athletes for college football coaches to scout and recruit from.
Okay, so your market is going to be the coaches then who are out there looking for getting the very best talent right off those high school football teams and onto the college campuses right now.
Yes, well, we want to make their life easier.
That's one side of the market, but you're also marketing to the athlete too, right?
Yes, yes, we are marketing to the athletes, but we want to get all the athletes the opportunity, so we made everything free for athletes. So profiles are free, and we're just we want to help them, and we want to help the college coaches be able to find those talent and make their job a little bit easier.
How did you identify this business opportunity?
Well, I played football in high school, and I came from a very small school, and I felt like I was under recruited. I felt like I should be playing for Alabama or Michigan
and then on into the NFL, I'm sure. Too,
yes, yeah.
Okay, so it was from your background that you now, and what was the felt need there that you felt like you were ignored? What was it that made you feel like you weren't really getting the same kind of look that other players got?
So, you know, at my school, it was a very small suburban school, and coaches weren't coming around, and I felt like I was a great athlete. I was scoring touchdowns. I was doing everything that I felt was necessary to get recruited, and the coaches just weren't coming to see me. And we talked to a few coaches, and they said that you're just a little bit out of our area.
Okay, so let me try and understand this, because about 7 years ago, a very good friend of mine said, hey, I want you to come out and shoot video of my son playing high school football. And for 2 years, in the cold and the snow and the rain and everything like that, because I was being a good friend, I shot all this video. And then I said, what are we shooting this for? Oh, so we can give it to coaches so they can see him, so they can recruit him and stuff like that. How does that change with your service, where some poor sap won't have to do what I had to do?
So when you have your highlight tapes and you put together your game film and you send it off to college coaches, they get film all day from across the country, especially if you're a big school that all the kids want to go to. So the Michigans, Michigan State,
sure,
they are getting thousands of tape all day long. What we want to do is we want to make that data and those athletes readily available for college coaches so they can sort through it on their own. We don't want to spam them. We don't want to make their job harder than what it is, because when they get those tapes, it makes their job harder.
So part of what you're doing is going to be ranking them, though. Am I right?
Yes. We
want to
rank
them. Important.
We want to rank them.
So they're not just getting blown away by spam. Now, Dr. Bryant is with us, and Dr. Damon Bryant, you are kind of the math end of this, and you were using an example before, Chauncey said, this is kind of like the movie Moneyball?
Yes.
And you brought the math to this, Doctor. How does that work?
Yes. Well, I met Chauncey at the MIT Sports Analytics Conference, and the way that we create the mathematical models behind this, the inspiration was really behind the Wonderlic in the NFL, how the athletes take the test and they supposedly predict how good the player will be. Well, I did the research and found that there was no scientific literature published that showed that the Wonderlic actually predicts performance on the field.
Now, I love that.
I wrote a presentation. I did a presentation at the MIT Sports Analytics Conference where you had NFL coaches, and I presented the research. Mm-hmm. And from that literature, there were some researchers who said, hey, let's investigate some of these tools, visual spatial skills, fluid intelligence, reaction time. Yeah. So after having a conversation with Chauncey, you know, we got together and say, okay, let's begin to develop these assessment tools. Let's test them with athletes, and let's see if we can, in fact, predict performance. So that's what we did.
Oh, cool.
We went out and we brought in some high school athletes. We gave them some internet-based tests of reaction time, their visual spatial skills.
Oh, I saw. On the internet, you were able to do that kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
In my experience, I had experience developing tests for IBM and the educational testing service, you know, selecting students going into graduate school and hardware and software engineers for Big Blue. So it was natural to give. Now it's progressing where you can give online tests. So we gave the tests over the internet. Then we brought the kids into a combine. Then they perform the 40, the bench press, the deadlift.
They came in, then they did a physical aspect of the testing. Okay, gotcha.
And then after that, we analyzed the data to see if there's a relationship between their things like we measured their motivation, how they look at different patterns, and then determine what's next. And we found that there was, in fact, a relationship on how fast they respond to on the computer, how much they were actually able to lift, how fast they were react to different situations, how agile they were. Mm-hmm. So we said this was strong evidence in contrast to the Wonderlic, where we were able to predict performance on the field.
So the Wonderlic was a tool that had been used up to this point to that kind of predictive analysis, right?
At this point, there's no literature and there's no research.
Oh, okay. It's interesting. So it's kind of almost by anecdotal. You know, that it was like this work. But you coming, this is funny, fascinating then. So you got your passion, Chauncey, as a player, and the desire to have people like yourself recognized. And then these tools came together. So what is this now then that you've come up with called First and Goal Recruiting? How is that blending together? And where are you in the process of getting this going?
Okay, well, it blends together because we're going to use data and the math and science to give athletes the ability to be seen. So that's where it meets. We use the data and the athletes, and we bring them together for the college coaches so they can be seen.
Is this up and running right now, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, you guys
have... Oh, yeah, we have 1,500 athletes across the country on our website right now and growing, counting every day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are getting close to making 2,000 soon, and we have... ranked, we are certified for by the NCAA.
Oh, really?
As an official recruiting service.
Wow, and that's big.
It is very big. It's very big.
We've launched in less than 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah, so in May, we launched in May.
You launched in May, okay. And now, I guess the question. Oh, go ahead, Emily. You were going to say something.
Oh, no, sure. One of the times that I first met Chauncey, I mean, they were pitching at an event called Detroit Technology Exchange, and they went through BizDom. So, I mean, there's some serious momentum behind what they're doing. And I distinctly remember part of the pitch included just how this also solves a problem for the coaches themselves.
Yes.
So, I know we've talked heavily about the athlete side.
Hey, let's come back and talk. We talk a lot about the athlete side. When we come back, I want to talk some more, Emily, with our two guests who are in studio here. Chauncey Blackwell and Dr. Damon Bryant, who are the folks behind this genius idea called First and Goal Recruiting. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you can click on the links there and it'll take you to the site. You can see more about it then. We're going to talk about the coach aspect of this when we come back. And then, Emily, you have some more things to tell us about social media, about LinkedIn. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Cal Carson, Ed Rudell, let me see the list here. Emily Hay, who is our social media expert, and some guests with us from First and Goal Recruiting. I promised at the bottom of the hour, and I forgot to do it, so we're going to do it at the next break. Going into the break, I will give you the phone number so you can call, and we are going to be giving away a 16-gigabyte SD card. I'm sorry, it slipped my mind because we are having so much fun talking here, but we got a 16-gigabyte SD card we're going to be giving away, and I'll tell you about that as we go into our break, this next one coming up. All right, right now, however, Emily, you have brought in a fascinating couple of guys here to talk about this startup called First and Goal Recruiting. And again, thank you very much, Chauncey Blackwell and Dr. Damon Bryant, for being with us. Delighted. Now, one of the things you guys were saying initially was that this is not just for athletes, to help them build their profile and get athletes from everywhere out to be able to, small schools to bigger schools, kind of gives them a little more even footing, doesn't it?
Yes, it
levels the ground a little bit more. Doctor, you have come up with these great mathematical structures and some testing that you've done with other companies as well. You mentioned IBM, I think, was one of the companies you worked with.
Yes, it was the mid-2000s. IBM was going through that big turnaround.
Yeah,
as you
right,
know.
Right.
They were looking to go into the emerging markets, but it was the case that they were trying to assess hardware and software engineers in a faster and more efficient way.
Oh.
So I developed a system that would create the test using artificial intelligence. So they were able to scale from a workforce of around 200,000 employees to about 440,000 employees in the course of 2 years using internet-based technology.
Well, that's fascinating. Now, Chauncey, this is we talked about this as being a benefit for the athlete like yourself.
Yes.
Okay. How do the coaches react to that? I mean, how are the coaches reacting to this? Because and the talent agents who are out there? Because that really, it's got to make it for them, right?
Yes. I have spoken to a lot of big-time coaches, some in Wisconsin, some Michigan State, at football camps across the country. And what they're saying is that if you can make a tool that's make it easier for us, well, we want it. Because they're trying to juggle making game plans. They're juggling managing the players that they have. Once there's 100 scholarship players on the team, and they're trying to manage all these players while making game plans, and they still have to recruit. And finding good, talented kids and athletes in a short period of time is one of the hardest things they have to do. And they it's really a whole job within the job of coaching. And they love the idea of having a tool that easily they can use. And we're actually want to build it within the application to where they really don't have to scroll and spend countless hours on the site. That we'll be sending them athletes that fit their recruiting style, that fit their height, certain height, weight, speed, and predictive modeling score that we're ranking, what they need, as in if I need a quarterback, I need a running back right now, I need him to be this fast, this tall, and I need him to be able to play this type of offense, and we're just going to send it to him.
And so here's Chauncey back here at a small school saying, it's me.
Yes, me right here. Come find me, please. I need a scholarship.
Come find me. I need a scholarship. That's excellent. Okay, and this is one. I'm going, Doctor, you would say something?
Oh, and I just mentioned that we have a school that's already signed on, a college that's already signed on within 2 months of launching our beta site.
Excellent.
Signed on to do a pilot with us this
excellent. So you're kind of in the testing phase, or in the proof of performance phase right now, right? You're the place where they're going to want to see what this is, how easy it is to use. And I think it sounds like if this really begins to work, word of mouth is going to fly on this.
Yes, we're trying to change the tides a bit, you know, in terms of national championships. You know,
I love it. Yeah, I love it. That's fantastic. Now, let's get back to you, Emily. By the way, thank you guys for being in here with us. If you'd like to find out more. Now, and by the way, if there is an athlete who wants to get involved in this, they can go through the website, right?
Yes.
And they can get on board right now.
Yes, www.firstandgorecruiting.com.
And we've got links from our homepage, which is internetadvisor.net. Want to keep up with you guys as you go on, all right?
Please do.
Okay. And we're delighted, Emily, that you brought this great startup from Detroit. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really
exciting.
This
could be having a huge impact on not just football, but maybe Gary on lacrosse eventually, or my grandson's playing soccer. Who knows? Could be coming up in the future. Now, some other things, Emily, that you've looked at in social media coming up this last few months. You've been attending a lot of these meetings, like the one that you met these two gentlemen with. What are some of the other things going on right now?
Sure. Well, again, even though we're literally talking about cutting-edge startup businesses right here in Detroit, it's still important that people have some pretty fundamental questions about LinkedIn. You know, there's a lot of people that are still maybe just getting onto this professional social network, or even if you've used it for a while, our lives are busy. We don't always sign in. You kind of forget what you should be using.
And LinkedIn, what's the difference between LinkedIn and Facebook in a very simple way for people who are listening?
Sure. The shortest story would probably be that LinkedIn is the professional social network, while Facebook, again, is more of a friendly day-to-day social network that you use to connect with friends.
And Gary, you've been involved in LinkedIn, for a long time.
Well, I think we all have, right?
Yeah, I know. I certainly am. Cal, are you in?
I'm a member, but not as long as Gary. I think Gary was in when it was just called Linked.
I think it was just LI when I first joined. They added the rest later as they were building out.
Eddie, give me a nod because you haven't got a microphone. Are you in LinkedIn? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm in LinkedIn, but I haven't updated my profile in 3 years.
Now, see, that's it.
That's terrible. That's a common excuse.
Yeah.
It's a real, it kind of almost is a resource that is either used very well by people who have been in it for a while, or people don't understand what great tools there are.
Well,
or go ahead.
Well, you know, most, I'm sorry, no, you go ahead, Emily.
No, go right
okay,
ahead.
Okay, in that case, I will.
You
all right. What I've noticed mostly with the people that I know who use LinkedIn, they don't use it unless they're looking for a job. And then all of a sudden they're busier than heck with it, and everything's doing it, and LinkedIn. And then after they got settled down, everything's good, they just kind of let it sit out there, and it just does its thing.
I don't think so at all. But, you know, I know lots of people, but because of the different groups that I'm in, Emily, I get stuff coming in through LinkedIn every day. I use LinkedIn every day. I use Facebook when I absolutely have to once a month.
Sure. And I mean, that's a really good point, Cal, that we do kind of box it into an online resume.
Yeah.
And
right.
And it's really important that if you've been at the same company for a long time, you're doing great. I mean, that doesn't mean you shouldn't still establish your online presence. And think about it. You know, what happens when someone Googles your name? You can help control what comes up and what people learn about you by having a really strong LinkedIn profile. And it doesn't have to just be when you're job searching.
You know, it's interesting.
But all the groups.
Because I don't think people know about the groups.
I think I belong to about 30 groups, and I almost can't keep up to it all. But it's great. It's not only technical groups, but there's because of that's the groups I'm interested in. But alumni groups. I follow different companies. Some that I've been
so within in LinkedIn. In. You can there are aggregations of group. For instance, in podcasting, a couple of them that I belong to was radio broadcasting, podcasting, and a few of the other ones that I belong to. What you do is you find people who have common interests there. And what I loved it was I went into the podcasting one, asked some technical questions about what do you use to record, what software do you use to edit your podcast, and you have a group of people. It's already a good group of people to talk to because they're very interested in the same things, and you get some great answers back.
Sure, and the point you make, Foster, is that you already knew what questions you had and what you wanted answered. I hear from a lot of people that the problem is they don't know what people in their industry are even talking about. So it's a really quick way to get right in and know what is the discussion and how can I add value to it.
So does the doctor and gentleman over here, do you guys use LinkedIn at all the type of process that you guys do?
Oh, of course.
Every day.
What type of groups are you involved with?
There's a football coaching network that I'm a part of, the MIT Sports Analytics Conference I'm a part of, the Industrial and Organizational Psychology Network I'm also a part of as well. In addition, I meet potential business relationships that come into play as well. I'll be friended by someone or get introduced by a friend of mine and say, hey, have a conversation with this person here. I met them the other day. So
that's excellent. Chauncey, how about you?
Same way. All college football recruiting networks, college coaches, high school coaches. Some athletes are starting to build LinkedIn profiles now.
That's interesting.
Any way that they can use to get any type of exposure. So,
whatever your group of interest happens to be, that's the great thing about LinkedIn is you can find people who will interact with you. Mike Amon, our friend from California, San Jose, is constantly sending us information through there. So I get a lot of feeds. And what it is for me is it's a trusted source of information. Rather than on Facebook, you can see it coming from almost anywhere.
No, this is not true because they can't put things that aren't true on the internet. You know that. I've read that on the internet.
Are you a French model? Are you that French model?
but you know, when you think about it, it really is very broad. You know, I keep in touch with folks that I know through the Alumni Association on there. An Eagle Scout... you know, my son's getting ready to do what Talon just did, which was finish his Eagle Scout project. My son's getting ready to do his, and there's been a lot of activity around helping him on the Eagle Scout, you know, welcoming him in early, right, as a future Eagle Scout group member. So
LinkedIn is a mature Facebook.
I don't think so. But,
much more purposeful.
So I was, you know, there's Arthur Anderson Alumni Association, right? The company's gone, but we all get together.
Mike Brennan is coming up with Michigan Tech News. We're going to pick this up again coming up on the other side of that. We have a 16-gigabyte SD card to give away right now. Caller number 10 at 800-859-0957. Call in right now, 800-859-0957. Caller 10. Oh, we're trying a little contest here at our show for those of you who are joining us live on WJR. We have a 16-gigabyte SD card, Class 10, big one. I mean, it's nice, very fast card provided for us. Thank you very much to MicroCenter.
Yes, and Mike and the fine people over at MicroCenter, which is a great place to go and get technology if you ever need it. And we talk about it a lot. And, you know, we're not actually, you know, they're not actually sponsoring us or anything, but they were. They said, hey, you know, we're doing some things together. And, you know, what the heck? You guys always talk about us. Here's some things that you can share with people.
Yeah. All right, so here's what we did. I gave you the phone number. We said, so we're going to start with caller number 10. And that's John from Macomb. How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm great. How about yourself?
Very,
happy 4th of July weekend here.
Very well. Okay, now here's the deal. You could win this 16-gigabyte SD card, which we'll mail out to you from the folks at MicroCenter, if you can answer this question. Ready?
Oh, simple question.
It's a simple question. Very All simple right. question. You ready? Okay. Ready?
I'm ready.
This past... Well, Cal, go ahead and give it.
During this past week, a famous tech inventor passed away. Can you name that person for me?
Tech inventor.
Or even what he invented.
What he invented.
Or if you can name what he invented. And it's something that you've probably have used before.
Almost assuredly.
Oh, man, we've been so busy here this past week.
Well, you know what? Cal, could you read the description?
No, that's okay. That's okay. It's just because Mike Brennan is waiting too. I don't want him. But here's the deal. It's a famous tech inventor. We'll give you a hint. Yeah, it was...
Engelbart?
Well, don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
You got
you
it.
Got correct.
Wow. I see. I didn't want to say that they would have to come up with a name.
The mouse?
The mouse. That's right.
Oh, my God.
You actually got it right. Nice going. Congratulations to you. I'm going to put you on hold, but congratulations. You just won that 16-gigabyte SD card from the folks at MicroCenter. Nice going, John.
Thanks a lot, you guys. Hey, I love the show. Keep up the great work, and you guys have a great weekend.
All right, now we hang on the line. We'll get more information. Annie will get that from you in just a moment. Congratulations. Next hour, we're going to be giving away another one of the memory devices from the folks at MicroCenter, and we'll give you an opportunity to call in at that time. Right now, however, it is time for us to say hello to Mr. Mike Brennan, who is with us, as he is every week at this time, with Michigan Technology News. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Fine, how you doing, Foster?
Very good. I'm so glad you made it through that crowd.
There was a few there, yes.
So what's going on in Michigan Technology this week?
Well, there's still the whole idea of doing an internet sales tax. As you know, if you buy something online, and typically they don't charge you any kind of sales tax unless it's in the state where the particular merchant is based, you know, like Amazon, Washington State, that sort of thing.
Right.
They're still trying to get that 6% sales tax applied to internet sales right now here in Michigan, but there's still some issues about whether it should be, how they're going to change tax policy to do that. But eventually it's going to happen so that, and I think it's fair, because more and more, there's billions and billions of dollars of the stuff sold online that we're just not collecting taxes the state of Michigan.
Well, there is a law that says you have to file with your tax return a use tax, but they don't enforce it, so nobody does it. But
I was going to say, sure.
I paid $60 last year in use tax. So
here's my money, please. Take it.
Yeah. Well, all right.
I guess if you're an internet advisor, we have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Of course. Yeah. We're very honest here. So.
Okay.
So, you know, back to Stuxnet, that virus worm that attacked the Iranian nuclear centrifuges a few years back, that Richard Steenan and I wrote about in our book. Well, you know, there seems to be a deep throat on that. Federal investigators are looking at a former high-ranking Pentagon official who apparently leaked the information out, retired Major General James Haas Cartwright. Seems to be the deep throat, now for the New York Times story anyway, although anybody in the security business, it was one of those common knowledge things, everybody knew the U.S. and the Israelis were behind it, we just couldn't prove it, right?
Exactly. Matter of fact, we had the guest we had on, I think, was the former head of the CIA, am I right?
Right, General Mike Hayden.
Yeah, he was hedging around that.
Who was a friend of Richard Steenan's.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, yeah, Richard knows him quite well. Richard's mentioned him several times.
Right,
so,
right.
But you know, Stuxnet continues to sort of float around out there. And our thesis in our book, and I still think you're beginning to see it happen, is that it's being re-engineered and turned back on the United States. We just haven't seen that, but we will see you know, one of those digital 9/11s, internet 9/11s, whatever you want to call it. Mm. It's going to happen sooner or later, whether they're bringing down the power grid or something related that uses, you know, the control systems. It's called SCADA. We don't want to get into all that because it's very technical, but you guys know where I'm going with this, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Yep, exactly.
You know something, Mike? You know, Foster was out in the hinterlands of Michigan in the past week. I understand that Verizon is doing some expansion in Michigan for the LTE network. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, they claim that they're pretty much got all the major areas of the state now with 4G LTE. And just this week, I talked them into sending me one of the Galaxy S3s because I'd never really done much with 4G LTE. So I've already begun to play around with it gosh, it's as fast as my cable modem. I mean,
it is
just amazing how fast.
Yeah, it is very. It's breathtaking how quickly it works. You're right.
Yeah, I'd heard the stories, but I said, yeah, okay, I want to see it for myself. But it's true, you know. So, but it's really good, and I've only had it for a couple of days, so I haven't had much of a chance. But anyway, they just expanded it into areas around Branch, Hillsdale, and Jackson counties. So they're kind of filling out the state. I mean, anything below Big Rapids, and even in some places above Big Rapids, you know, you can get your 4G LTE coverage. And like I say, it is, from my experience, they say it's 10 times as fast as 3G, and I'll bet it's pretty darn close to that.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. All right, by the way, if you'd like to find out more on these stories in depth, you can go to mitechnews.com. We have a link off of our homepage to that. Mike Brennan has put together a whole series of information here that has to do with politics, new products, webcast, biotechnology, and as well as national news headlines and cyber defense. All sorts of good things that you can find. You can get your own subscription to it so it gets delivered to you directly, and not just a little tidbits that we give you here on the Internet Advisor. Mike, how a story to wrap things up?
Well, you know, SBAM just came out with another survey, and it shows that they did, surveying small businesses in June of 2013, and 1,000 of them were surveyed, and there's a perceptible uptick in business optimism. There's still a lot of money on the sidelines. I talked to a lot of small business people. You know, we're not back to where we were in 2008, 2009. It's getting better. We just got to get all that money on the sidelines to come in. And now, everybody's a bit more optimistic that's going to happen.
Excellent. Good note to end on. Mike Brennan, thank you so much for being with us every week here with your mitechnews.com. Take care of yourself and have a good rest of the 4th of July weekend. Emily, hey, come on back in here. Emily is our social media expert, and we want to wrap things up maybe talking a little bit. This one question I want to ask you. We've been talking about LinkedIn before this. I'm getting a lot of these things, and I want you to help me clarify. What is a recommendation versus... what is the other thing they're calling
it? Yeah, the endorsements.
Endorsements. Mm-hmm. Recommendations used to be when somebody I knew would recommend me as a broadcaster or whatever. What's the difference between the two of those?
Sure. The short story, the recommendations still exist. You write something out, while an endorsement is just a quick click of a button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it? You think it's kind of lessening the impact then?
No, they're just different.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
happy
good.
To talk about them.
So you want to have both of those. Right?
Sure. I mean, endorsements are happening more regularly because, like I said, you just validate, does this person have this skill? Click yes, endorse, it shows up on their profile.
At heytheresocialmedia.com, have you done more information on this, some explanations on this?
Sure, happy to add some explanation.
Excellent.
There.
You can go through our homepage to heytheresocialmedia.com, which is where you're going to find Emily Hay on a regular basis. She's here once a month. Emily, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for
having me. And thank you to our other guests who have been in studio as well. First and Goal Recruiting, we hope you guys have much success. We look forward to that. Cal, Ed, and Gary, and I are going to stick around because this next hour is yours. Call us with your questions, 800-859-0957. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast. Welcome aboard. It's the second hour of the Internet Advisor. That is your hour. And we say that because that's when you call and set the agenda. And we've got decades of technical experience in studio here waiting to answer your questions with Mr. Kel Carson and with Ed Rudell and Gary Baker and myself throwing in a few ears as well. Call us at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0957 right now. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Rudell, and Kel Carson standing by for your questions at the number 800-859-0957. It's 800-859-0957. We love questions. The challenges is always great, and especially if they're simple ones, we like them even more. Ed, glad to have you in studio with us because you've got vacation fever. You're about ready to take off.
Yes, but not soon enough.
Now, you're not taking any technology with you, are you?
No, I can't say I'm not. I'm going to bring my laptop. I've got my Android. I have my MiFi device.
Yeah. I wish I had a MiFi device this last time I was up there, because I would have loved to have been able to use that for the rest of the people on the camp. That'd be great.
You know, if I told my wife I had a MiFi, she'll be playing that Facebook game, Candy, and that Candy game.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Candy Crush.
That's it. She's at like a level 142. And the thing is, you know, and I inquired about this. How do companies like that make money? The game is free, right? There's no ads.
Right.
And basically, the only way they make money is people give them money to buy extra lives and extra cheats so they could skip levels and do better in levels. My wife was able to achieve 142 without. She goes, I am not giving them any money.
Oh, she did without.
Yes.
Oh, good for you, Tina. Nice going. But that's where they make money.
Think of the hours she's wasted. Oh. I mean, she could have written a book.
No, wait a minute now. It's not wasting. It's game players. If Shane were here, he would not say wasting.
Okay.
Investing.
Investing?
Now you know just as well, conversely, she would say to you, you spend too much time on Craigslist, and you're in that barn working on stuff constantly. You could have built a tower.
Oh, you're right, Kel. Thank you for straightening me out.
I see. So the sword cuts both ways.
Right.
But
she does her thing. I'll do mine. I'll leave her alone.
I am completely convinced.
But it's not going to be on vacation time.
Yeah. You know something? This technology is just like crack. Once you're in, there's no way to get out.
I know.
You're constantly stuck in there. And Foster, why don't you turn your phone into a Wi-Fi hotspot?
You have to pay for that now with AT&T.
Oh, yes. That does get in the way.
And it wasn't strong enough.
You don't actually don't.
It depends if you're grandfathered in, I thought.
I'm grandfathered in.
Oh,
but
so then you do, maybe. But no, I've taken just by a little hunt group and buy 20 gig for all four of us in my family.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I would have done that.
Yeah, it's
just call them up. Say
it's unlimited voice, unlimited text, and then a shared data.
Don't you have to get that? Don't you have to get that through the phone company though?
Right.
See, the problem is up there. We have there's barely a signal up there. Literally.
Oh, so you can't get AT&T signal.
No, literally, you have to go and stand at my daughter Beth's cottage on the third stump next to the river in order to be able to get any signal at all.
Can't you just turn your hotspot on and put it up in a tree?
There you go. Gary, I love that. Just leave it in the tree. I love it.
Thank you very much for that. All right.
Just trying to help.
Yeah, we got Gerald.
You know, fishing line. You could have probably just thrown a fishing line way up into the trees and then tethered it up there.
Yeah. And you guys.
Just bring it down for charging occasionally.
You guys talk about my abusing my phone?
No. You know, I'm thinking it's more like, this is
that
reminded me
swim
of Green Acres when the guy used to have to climb the telephone pole and
answer the phone. Yeah, that's about right.
Just make sure you use nylon line, not metal. When you
Dear. All right, folks. We do have some folks calling in here. Gerald from Livonia. Let's see if we can get you online and give you some help. Hi, Gerald. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
We're doing fine.
Hey, Gerald.
One thing, Internet Explorer 9 is what I have with the Vistas. And every time I try to download like a program, I've got a program for my stock trading, or not a stock, but what they call an e-book. And I go on there, and let's see if I can just click this real fast here. It just says that Internet Explorer is not working. It's failing every time. I've gone to various sites there to try to help me out, and nothing is working there.
So
I have the Malwarebytes program. I got Kaspersky.
Yeah.
I defrag and disk clean every Saturday morning.
Yep.
Okay.
And I use Microsoft Security's and Essentials program, and nothing. I cannot get that thing to work at all.
Well, have you tried an alternate browser? That's the first thing I would think of.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Google Chrome or Firefox.
Opera. Just to try it, what we're trying to do is isolate the problem, so we'll find
out. Well, I've got a Firefox icon, but if I click that, like the Mozilla Firefox icon,
yeah. Right?
I click that, so how would I get my emails that come through the emails come through the Internet Explorer. So how would that happen?
I was going to say, if you're using Internet Explorer as your default web browser, more than likely what you're doing is you're accessing a website within Internet Explorer. Is it Comcast or Charter? Who's your Internet service?
I have AT&T.
So you have a Yahoo Mail then?
Right.
Okay. And so you could just copy the address that's in Internet Explorer and paste that into the Firefox address line.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just go to the AT&T Yahoo website, whatever.
And search for it.
And search for it and say email. And basically you're just going to the to a web address to read webmail.
So you can do that with any browser, right?
You can do that with any browser.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, I have what they call this Firefox. It says Google on here, though. It's got Firefox and it says Google in the search box.
Well, what's happening is that's your home page. So whenever you launch a web browser, it has a default website that it goes mm-hmm. to. Right now, your Firefox is configured to automatically go to the Google website.
Mm-hmm.
But you could change that if you wanted to in Firefox. And
to be anything you want.
Anything you want. You can make it the same that is the website that for Internet Explorer. So in Internet Explorer, you if you go to Tools, Internet Options, it'll say what your default homepage is right there.
Yeah.
Stay on the line.
Yeah, hang on the line, Jared. We'll get back to you. But basically, for those of you listening in, one of the things we recommend is have a second browser so that you can test things out like this and find out where the problems exactly are. Back with more answers to your questions in a moment.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us here for the second hour of the Internet Advisor. 800-859-0957. By the way, in about 10 minutes from now, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be giving away a 16-gigabyte USB drive. If you can answer a question, I'll give you that question before we go into our break, and we'll take the first person who has that right answer to that one.
Hey, Ed, I talked to Gerald off the air during the break, and he has a problem that he's trying to repair his Internet Explorer 9, and when he tried to repair it, it said, sorry, we can't repair it.
Really?
So I thought it was either a plug-in or it now sounds like potentially that there's a corruption in the
Internet Explorer.
Explorer.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that we could do if a program's corrupted? We want to test to see if, you know, put Google on, Google Chrome on,
right.
or Firefox, to see if it is. Those would have worked, probably.
Probably. But we want to ultimately fix Internet Explorer.
So how do we do it?
What I would do is go into the control panel. Gerald, what version of Windows are you running? Are you running Windows 7, Windows Vista?
Oh, I have Windows Vista.
Perfect. Okay. So in Windows Vista, if you go into control panel and then go into the option to programs and features that you wish to remove a program.
Okay.
And you might want to write this down or listen to our podcast Monday. And when you go into view, on the top left-hand side, Internet Explorer will not show up as like a program like you would see there at like Google Chrome and Microsoft Office. You want to go underneath the section that says View Installed Updates. Because
okay,
you said
I'm in
you
there
had
right now.
Because you have Internet Explorer 9, was it?
Right, 9.
And
right.
And if you, what you want to do is uninstall Internet Explorer 9 because that is a system update. So you want to scroll through all those list of updates that Microsoft has installed, including, you know, in that list is all these security updates. But you will see Microsoft Internet Explorer 9 in there, in that list. If you uninstall it, when it's done, you'll have Internet Explorer 8 back there.
Right.
Well, actually, I'm in that list right now. I do not see Internet Explorer.
Well, it takes
9
a while for it to scroll to show up. But but if you scroll, because I'm running Windows 7, and I have 148 updates
so you'll have a lot of them.
You have a lot of them
but
in there. And near the bottom, I actually have Internet Explorer 9. It's near almost all the way down to the bottom. You want to uninstall that, and when you do, you'll have Internet Explorer 8 on there. That should work. But the key is...
Then go ahead and put back 9 if you want it, right?
After you shut down your computer and reboot it, because it's going to ask you to do that after Internet Explorer 9 is removed, then you'll go back to the Microsoft website or go to www.microsoft.com/ I think it's Internet Explorer, all one word, and then you say, I wish to download Internet Explorer 9, and it'll download a fresh copy of Internet Explorer
and
9.
That really often will solve the problem when you do that, Gerald. So we hope that one of those solves. Now, give us an email to let us know how this worked out, and we can, in fact, maybe help some other folks as well with the problem.
So we weren't going to put them back on because we have a number of people to get to, but I thought that that would help a lot of people.
I think you're
there.
Right. I think you're right. A lot of people are running into those snags. Yep. All right, let's go to Ken from Dexter. Ken, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how may we help you?
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question. Can a new computer be bought today with Windows 7 on it without doing any crazy things?
Cal has the answer. He put his hand up first.
Well, believe it or not, I was just over, this is going to be cliche as it gets, I was at Micro Center last week, and they had 3 laptops over there that you could buy with Windows 7 Professional on it, and get this, comes also with a copy of Windows 8 if you ever decide you want to go crazy.
Right.
Actually, Ken, I think that now probably is a good time to go looking for that because they're trying to get those models off the floor as fast as they can to move the newer stuff that's got Windows 8 on.
Yeah, and we had Microsoft in a few weeks ago, and we specifically asked him, can we still buy Internet Explorer from our OEMs like Hewlett-Packard and Dell? He says, absolutely. Yeah,
you mean Windows 7?
Windows 7, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you.
But is it because you're not sure you want to go to Windows 8? Or
I just do not like the concept. I'm 73. All right, okay. I can't break on that. But I'm quite happy with Windows 7.
Yep.
Yeah,
I know, absolutely.
By the way, just, and Gary asked a very good question. We do this. We ask people, why do you not want to go to Windows 8? One of the things that's happened in some ways is a lot of tech writers gave a lot of bad press to Windows 8, okay? Basically, you can use Windows 8 in such a way that it looks like Windows 7.
That's right.
Only it'll run faster and better.
Yeah, it's lighter
so,
weight.
I don't want you to
Windows
be
7 was great.
Oh, absolutely. And if you want to go to it, go ahead. But it's like buying a 2003 Chevy when you can buy a 2013 that will have all sorts of improvements
to it.
Better
gas mileage because it's lighter and faster.
Exactly.
No, if I was to buy a laptop or a computer for my father, it would be Windows 7.
Because he's used to it?
He's used to it.
Yeah.
And
doesn't want to go
I love my dad. I just don't think I can handle that many trips up north.
So, and also, I will tell you that while you can use Windows 8 very well with a mouse, it's really meant to have touchscreen.
Yeah, it's built much more for the touchscreen.
So if I were to recommend Windows 8, soon to be 8.1, which will give you the start button back and everything else, right? And you can get that in beta right now, and by the end of the summer, you'll get a production version of that. Mm-hmm. I would get a touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If I was to buy a tablet, it would be Windows 8.
Okay, great.
Or Windows 8 RT.
So what are you buying, a desktop or a laptop?
I'd probably be looking for a desktop. But maybe I have to go to that laptop.
Well, I was going to say, what you might consider, a lot of our folks call in and you've been using desktops for years with XP and 7 even, or Vista, and you're very happy with it, and I understand that. One of the things I would like to recommend to some of our older listeners is that laptops actually may give you better value than the desktops did.
Okay.
And it would be actually a much more comfortable thing to use. I don't know what you guys think.
And you can travel. I mean, usually the retired community, if you're retired at 73, goodness, I hope you're retired at 73. And if you go visiting people, you could bring the laptop. My parents would go to Florida, and he was stuck with that desktop, and I finally talked him into that laptop. And the trailer park that they were in, he loved it. He's Wi-Fi, he's connected.
And even when you're home, if you want to go sit on the deck, you can go sit on the deck.
Yeah. Well, let's back up.
Or in the kitchen, or in front of the television while you're, other family members are watching television. You could be doing both.
Well, let's back up and look at it from a different perspective. Why would you want a desktop? Is it because of the larger screen?
Ken, why would you want a desktop?
Probably an old habit.
Yeah, it's what you're used to. Yeah, and that's fine.
In that case, then I'd say go ahead and give a laptop a shot. I think you might be happy with it, like the guys are saying. And if it comes out that you need a larger screen because you want to see things bigger, you can always buy a really nice flat screen monitor for about $150, hook it
less
up to the back of your
laptop.
Hook it up to the back of your laptop, and bingo, you've got that nice large screen.
Ken,
you can see everything.
How big a screen is your monitor right now?
19.
You really owe it to yourself to go to a bigger screen. And this is somebody who's 66, soon to turn 67, and my eyesight, for various reasons, is a little more difficult. I really enjoy the 21 to 22, 23-inch screens.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell them about your 44-inch.
Okay. No, I haven't got that big. But you really can. I got one that happened to be a floor model for $20, and it was a 23-inch.
Yep.
Yeah. And at an office supply store.
Yeah. And you can't, very easily move that around.
No, but for instance, when I sit down at the desk.
But you still have a smaller footprint, yep, even when you don't move it around.
And for Ken and for the other folks who have a harder time seeing the smaller screens, what I do is I put my laptop then on a little stand, and I wire it right into my monitor, mm-hmm, so that I keep my calendar or mail on my laptop. And I work with everything else on that big old screen in front of myself. So, some things to consider, Ken. Thanks so much for giving us a call. Hey, we have a contest right now. We will take the very first person who can answer this question at 1-800-859-0957. What company first used the 3.5-inch floppy disk in their computers? What company first used the 3.5 floppy? All right. Here's the question we asked. What company first used the 3.5-inch floppy disk in their computers? And we have, let's see, somebody who's ready. Line number two, right, Annie? Line number two, okay. Alex from East Point,
Hello. Welcome.
Hello. But thanks for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. So, Mr. Smarty Pants, what was the company that first used the 3.5-inch floppy disk in their computers?
Well, Sony invented it, so I'm going to say Sony.
So close, but not correct. But thank you so much for
calling. Thank you for trying. You were right, though. He was right that it was Sony that it invented it. All right.
But they did not use it
immediately. All right, let's go to our next caller. John from Washington, welcome to the Internet Advisor. So do you have an answer for us on what company first used the 3.5-inch floppy disk in their computers?
Apple in the Macintosh.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
You got it. Now, we have to say our caller.
Good job.
Our caller before this was right that Sony had invented the thing. But the first company that used it in their products was Apple. So you are correct, sir. So are you something of an Apple guru?
No, I'm a storage guy.
All right. Well, speaking of storage, Cal, our lovely assistant, Cal, would you tell him what he's won?
Well, for the courtesy of Microsoft. Just not the same as Vanna White somehow. One day
I'll have that slinky dress on. You'll never know.
Oh, dear. No,
from the courtesy of Microsoft Center, we have you're going to love this tonight when you could close your eyes. From the courtesy of Microsoft Center, we have for you a 16-gigabyte USB flash drive that will get into the mail to you once the lovely Annie gets all your information from you. And thank you so much for listening to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you so much for being here with us on the show.
When he says storage guy, he's probably dealing with terabytes or petabytes.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So we'll get
16
is
handy,
gigabytes.
Though, to have around.
Of course.
Very handy, as a matter of fact. A lot of us, I think, use that when we're working on people's computers. We have that handy. Yeah. All right, let's go to Tom from Troy. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, Tom.
Good. Listen, I used to miss your show because I was so busy on the weekends, and I found your podcast, and I listen to it every week while I'm driving.
There you go. There you go. That's the way to do it. That's right. Thank you very much for doing that. By the way, folks, I simply come back to internetadvisor.net, and by Sunday night, we'll have posted the show from the previous Saturday, and you can do it like our friend Tom does and get all the details there.
Or from iTunes.
How can we help you?
Well, I had I have a kind of a big house out here in Troy, and I had a computer guy set up a pretty good network system, so all my laptops and printers and everything were connected wirelessly to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided I didn't want to pay $10 a month to Comcast anymore, and so I went out and got my own router that was approved through Comcast, and,
right.
and I installed that myself.
Right.
But now all my laptops. The wireless I can access with all the laptops and such. I cannot access the extender I put on, and I cannot access my printer.
Hmm.
And so, and I don't know enough about, you know, connecting all these things together to figure it out.
So you still have the Comcast cable modem?
Yes, I got my PC. And,
right.
and the wireless system is connected to the modem and the computer, and so I have wireless in the house, and all my tablets and devices can connect to it. And so I do have wireless. What I don't have is my printer is not printing anything from through the wireless system.
Well, is your printer wireless?
That it is.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that wasn't. My question, so you have a cable modem, and then from the cable modem, it connects to the wireless network. How many port, is it like a just a standard four-port wireless
yeah.
cable modem? And then
yep.
you also said you had an extender somewhere in the house.
I do. I have another Linksys network on the far side of the house. So I named it as my last name one is my main one, and then my last name two. So when I'm up in the bedrooms, and on the far side of the house outside, I can pick up number two. But it's broadcasting, and but I cannot connect to it unless I unplug it, wait 10 minutes, plug it back in, and then I can connect with it. But then a couple hours later, it just disappears.
Hmm. Well, that I'm not sure about with the extender. But, Cal, correct me if I'm wrong. So if we eliminate the extender, can we assume that the wireless devices can connect to the primary wireless router,
yeah, well,
and the wireless printer also connects to the primary router?
Well, I'm looking in here on my network and sharing, and it doesn't show that my printer is connected to the network.
When you got your new router,
yes.
did you go back and reset the factory specs, both your extender and your printer?
I probably did not. How do I do that?
Well, it'll be in with the manual, but probably on the extender, if you look on the back of it where the power cord plugs in at, there'll be a little pinhole back there, something that's about big enough for you to be able to stick a paper clip into. And what you do is you unplug the power from the back of that router, push in on that button, and then plug the power back in while you're still pushing that button. It's kind of tricky to do, but you do it. And what that'll do is reset that router back to its factory spec.
The router or the extender?
The extender. I'm
okay.
sorry. Excuse me.
Okay. Now, isn't there also software that they sometimes ship with the extenders that installs on a laptop or a PC, and it uses a private protocol to discover the extender so it can be configured properly?
That is correct.
So you might
they
be able to go to the manufacturer's website. Yeah,
you know,
well, you have to go to the manufacturer's website for the extender, and they'll have the configuration software. So I think you said it was Linksys?
Yes.
Yeah, look for the Linksys extender software on their website.
Do you have one of those modems that has that button on it you press that helps printers and everything else to discover it? You know what I'm talking about? I have one at home.
I know on...
it's the that was easy button.
That is exactly.
Yeah,
I don't
just
know what
kidding.
It's called. The E something. I forget what the name of that button is. But
all I know is that he needs to make sure that he resets up both his printer and his extender to talk to this
yes.
new router, which I think that step he probably missed.
Right. And on your wireless router, usually if it has like a LCD or a color display, you can go through the general settings, network settings, and have it rediscover and, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, go
right.
through the wizard that's on the display of the printer, of the wireless printer,
yes.
And then have it rediscover the wireless network
right.
and reattach.
Right.
Exactly. All righty, I'll give all that a try.
So you go into the printer, and I did that recently. You
yeah.
go into the printer and have it rediscover the system.
And also, like if it's a Hewlett Packard, and Epson does this too, I think, what they do, if you cannot figure it out that way, what they'll do is... If you have the installation CDs that come with the printer, if you connect the printer up with a USB cable and install the printer software, it'll say, would you like to set up this printer as a wireless network or wired network or USB? And then it communicates to the USB cable to the printer and does that configuration for you, depending on the wizard.
Okay. Right.
So you may have to download the printer software if you have a USB cable.
Whole bunch of alternatives for you on that, Tom. I hope that one of them works.
I didn't
know
about that, about the extender.
Let us know about that, okay?
Yeah. Will do.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call.
I never set up an extender. Have you? How many of those have you set up? A couple?
Two in probably about 20 years. But so it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I quit doing extenders, and what I do is I just put a second router in.
Yeah.
And therefore, they get two benefits. Number one, they got another access point that's actually broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And second of all, they also have another hub there where they can do wireless connections at that location as well.
But the extender does exactly that, too.
Yeah, and the important part is...
Yeah, but the extender is going to make its own... subnet. And the router will make...
There's a subnet.
I just like using the routers.
Okay.
Right. Well, you seem to get a lot more for the... And it's about the same price.
Yeah, for the same price, yeah. And so it just... You get more bang for your buck. A quick question, though.
With the new protocols that are out right now, my understanding that the AC, which is the new internet protocol, actually goes through... It's better at going distances and going through things like concrete and
everyone has gotten better and better,
like
right?
From N to... Yeah.
Well, from... Back in beast.
Well, yeah, right. Days, A, right? B, G.
B, A, G, N.
Right. So I'm wondering if some... I'm wondering if you got a newer generation router that had some of that on it, that they actually could get a better distance. Because he's saying, I have a big house, and I'm not getting that good a signal. Maybe a new generation...
Well, see, the problem with the... The reason why the person probably put an extender in there is that even though the newer ones can shoot a better range and go through more stuff... Some things still give you heck. Like if you have one of those old bathrooms in the house where you have the concrete with the metal lath in it.
Oh, yeah.
No suckers. It's like trying to shoot it through.
It's almost like a Furby cage.
Yeah.
And you also need AC on both sides, right? You need it in every computer. It is backwards compatible, but you're not going to get AC throughput unless you have it on both sides.
I was just curious about that. All right, guys. Hey, back in just a minute, we'll be with Catherine from Livonia. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor with your questions. By the way, thank you very much to Annie and to Rich, who are behind the glass making this program happen, and to all of you out there for joining us on our show as well. We'd like to thank the folks at Micro Center who have provided us with the storage devices that we've been giving away today. And Cal,
and
I think
over the next few weeks.
And over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing more of that. SD cards and USB thumb drives. So thank you very much for them for doing that. And congratulations to the people who have won those. We'll be mailing them out shortly. Thank you, by the way, also for one of our listeners was saying that he listens to the podcast now. In case you can't catch all the program when we're on live on our flagship station here, WJR in Detroit, or you happen to be listening to us on one of our network programs through the Michigan Talk Network in Grand Rapids, Lansing, Saginaw, Kalamazoo, or Muskegon. You can get hold of us through our email at the Contact Us button on our website, so you can ask your questions.
Looking forward to visiting that Michigan City, Saginaw. It's a nice place.
Kind of extends. It's a megapolis.
It's a very big city. It stretches from one end to the other.
All right, enough of that, please. I was just back from vacation. Ben from Adrian. Hey, Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Foster.
Good. I heard you had a suggestion for us on that router.
Yes. Some brands of routers have one IP address and some have another. And with him changing routers, he may have changed IP addresses, but the laptops a lot of times detect where, and that's why they've connected, and the printer won't do that.
So he has to just set up the printer and extender again.
Yes.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Reset those.
Good
catch, Ben. Thanks so much for doing that, by the way. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
You and Mom doing well out there in Adrian?
Oh, yeah.
This is our super technology farmer out there, by the way.
Yeah, it helps us a lot, not only here, but in the forums.
We're still working on getting those forums back up so you can help people, by the way, Ben.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks so much for your help. We'll look forward to hearing from you in the future. Catherine from Livonia, how may we help you?
Hi. Yeah, I've had a problem with my computer for the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure it's from an email that I opened up that was from a friend, but it wasn't. So what's the handling on my Google searching? I've been getting pop-ups galore, and some of them are inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, when I click on to do a search, it'll take me somewhere, like, and when I look at where it's going, it says biz something, mm-hmm. and then I have to close out and go back and click on the same item, and then it'll take me where I want to go. But I can tell you what we've done already.
Sure.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes, please.
I've done, we have, is it Megabyte or something like Megabytes?
Malwarebytes?
Malwarebytes, and then we did CC something.
CCleaner?
CCleaner, and then we just did Bybot Search and Destroy.
You had to buy that one, didn't you?
No, it was something that was on my computer.
Oh, okay.
And it asked me to update it, but we didn't. And then we did, we defragged.
Yeah.
And we can't go do a system restart because the last date is after all this started happening. So.
Yeah, sometimes those Trojans that are on your computer will actually turn off or destroy all your other previous system restore points. So
yeah. How
long has this been on there?
It's been going on for a couple of weeks now.
Okay, well, what is the primary web browser that you're using?
Firefox.
So you are using Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's embedded itself into Firefox, I would think.
Right.
And when you scan with Malwarebytes, have you found anything?
I think there was maybe one Trojan thing that we found. I think there was a few things, and I'm not sure my husband did it, but there was at least two or more things on Spybot Search and Destroy that came up. But it's doing it.
Can she download a different browser, get off the net, and then uninstall Firefox?
It's one of the things I was thinking that might work.
I would like to also suggest that you may want to go to either bleepingcomputer.com or majorgeeks.com or to the Internet Advisor website and go to Ed's Toolkit and download a program called CombiFix, because mm-hmm. you've just about used everything else.
Yeah.
And a CombiFix generally will find some things that the other ones won't. I'd
mm-hmm.
run that, and then going along with Ed, I probably would deinstall Firefox from that machine,
mm-hmm.
and then once it was out of there, I'd run the CombiFix against it, see if it cleans it up some more, and then reinstall Firefox if that's the preferred browser.
Or a different one, right.
And see how that works out for you, because I think that's the only other choice that I have for you short of the dreaded rebuild.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's one more thing, or two more things that I thought of, but I like Cal's suggestion. The other thing is go into your control panel under programs and features and just look through that list. This is what I do sometimes with people where I'm mm-hmm. like, what's going on? Why can't I discover this Trojan? And I'll find something in there. It'll be like Coupons R Us, coupons, you know. or you might have, something in there like Search Assistant.
Yeah.
You know,
right, exactly.
And you may find something there that will, if you want to install it, it may take care of some of your problems.
Well, where was that I look at for that?
You go under Control Panel under Programs and Features.
Okay.
It's like it used to be Add Remove Programs. So
okay,
but it's Programs and Features, and that'll list all the programs. You'll have Microsoft Office. You'll see Malwarebytes in there. You'll see your CombiFix and
mm-hmm.
all your programs in there. But you want to look for something like, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't recognize this search assistant.
One other thing I'd like to add. You mentioned that Spybot Search and Destroy. You used that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you said that it asked to update, right?
Right.
And you said no, right?
Right.
Was that because, was there money involved in that?
No, my husband said it would take some time.
Well, let me explain to you what that means. When it's updating, it's getting the latest virus definitions.
Uh-huh.
So that it's making sure that it knows the latest bad guys that are out there so that it can uninstall. So just as a footnote for people out there who will see that you know, it says, can I update? You do want to update it, okay?
Okay.
If your software says, now again, it's asking
careful.
You to, yes, you do have to be careful. But I mean, with something like Spybot, search and destroy, which is a legitimate one, and it says it wants to update. It's updating the virus definitions. That means it's going to get the most recent guys. So I just this is a footnote for you. But what I like with what Cal has said, and I saw this just recently. I cleaned up somebody's computer in our building. I used the combination of Malwarebytes plus the Combo fix. And that combination has been very, very good in getting at a lot of those stinkers that are out there, okay?
All right. Well, thanks so much, guys. Have
You're
a great one.
Very welcome. But that problem of hijacked browsers is something that we hear about an awful lot. Let's see if we can get maybe one last quick one. Sean from Romulus, let's see if we can help you quickly.
Hello.
Hi.
I called you guys about 4 or 5 months ago. I don't know when it was. Anyway. And you told me to download WinDirect, or whatever it was called, WinDir.
Oh, yeah, that was the program that actually, to help identify what programs are using up all my space, yes.
Right, and anyway, so I found a program that was, you know, capturing all my my hard drive, my C drive, and so I kept deleting the file. I couldn't find the program itself, but nonetheless, and so it seemed to quit working. But now there's another program, the first folder, the first file underneath the Windows folder, which has gotten up to 17 gigs now.
Whoa! I tell you what, hang on a second.
It's called Installer.
Installer. Okay. Hang on a second.
And I deleted.
We're going to take this, we'll take this offline in just a moment. Sorry, we got to the end of the program with, I didn't realize how late it was, but we're going to help him offline. If you have a question for us, simply go to internetadvisor.net, the contact us button, and you can send us an email with your question. Gary, bon voyage on your trip.
Thank you. Be gone for the next 2 weeks. I'll be sailing in the North Channel.
Eddie, you have a great week up north in Port Huron.
I'll be, that channel.
That channel. And Cal, you have a good week as well. Folks, we'll be back with you again next week here on the Internet Advisor. You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.